have learned to eat the Western culture's food. And so she's concerned about that. What's going to happen to the children, those that are born after 1971? That's in a sense.
Yeah. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. I was invited to go to Kotzebue to present my views and theories on it, and they voted it out. And then I was called from the people of Isignak, that means jade, that's Sungnak, later by the English version of calling Isignak. Those people asked me to come to their little community after I heard that the BIA was threatening to take their welfare money if they did not accept a reservation status. I went up there and told them that no matter what BIA said, they could not be forced into a reservation status because that was wrong. And they voted it out at Isignak, and I have always been happy over that. Now getting back to the thinking of my people, when the petroleum reserve was being worked on, when they were exploring the possibilities, the fleet came in 1944, summer of 44, for the Naval Petroleum Reserve. I was asked, after 21 ships came in front of Barrow, the Navy ship, 18 commanders and one commodore came in and said to my father, who was filing on a piece of ivory in the old station, "Are you Mr. Brower?" He says, "I'm Charles DeWitt Brower." "Well, then he must be your son we're looking for. We're looking for Thomas P. Brower." And I had come in from my ranch, Reindeer Ranch. At that time, they approached me and they said, "Tom, we have to take you out to the..."
Number one, number two, number three. Rather beaten badly, but it's something that you can look at and plan around, just like tax planning. It's no different. I don't look at it in any different form than that, because there are ways around, and in good tax planning, there are good ways around good 7i planning. And although that we did not always agree, we did hammer out an agreement. And one of the things about the 12 regions, I think, that is noteworthy is that we have fought and fought hard against each other. But as soon as there was an issue within the state legislature or the United States Congress, we could appear before them as a united group through what was called the Alaska Federation of Natives. And although that we were in court battles and spent millions of dollars among each other in fighting in what our different philosophies were, well, we could always get together. We have made great strides, I think, in amending ANCSA. What is called the Alaska National Interest Lands. That thing is probably about 450 pages, and probably about 250 of them are amendments to the Claims Act. When the Claims Act was passed, Arctic Slope Native Association asked President Nixon not to sign it. We thought the land was too small. We wanted at least 60 million. And the other regions, the other 11, voted to accept the 40 million acres or 44 million acres. But once the Settlement Act was passed by Congress and signed by the President, why, whether we liked it or not, we started on the works of trying to implement it. And that has been a long, hard road. We have had our ups and downs. And there were so many things that were unclear. But we have gotten some pretty good grips. And at one point, we used to think that it was not a Claim Settlement Act, it was a breadbasket for the lawyers. And when the lawyers took over and finally got all our amendments that we wanted to work on at the time during ANILCA, and then we finally agreed on 7I, and then the accountants took over. And we were still at the short end of the stick. And with 1991 fast approaching, we now again have
the Borrow concept is one of those. The corporate concept is another. Those are white man tools. What we did on the Borrow concept was travel to each one of our villages so that we would tell them, explain to them what the Borrow concept was all about. When it gets right down to the election day, they will know what they will be voting for. Of course, when we get to the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, that is self-explanatory. It's part of history. It's documented, so there's no point in me dwelling on it. Now, how we went about causing our village communities to understand what the Arctic Slope Native Association was doing. The funding was a little hairy at times, but we were able to apply for grant monies from the Episcopal Church to the tune of $10,000, and that would be for the foundation of the humanities. We were successful in getting that $10,000 from the Episcopal Church, but the Right Reverend Bishop Gordon did not want to give it to me personally as the president of Arctic Slope Native Association, because we had at one time already withdrawn from the Alaska Federation of Natives, and the reason why we withdrew from the Alaska Federation of Natives, we said that AFN was losing sight of their goal. We came in land-oriented, and we didn't want to lose the sight of getting lands. The $10,000 allowed us to make our initial travels to our villages so that we can bring them up to date on where Congress was, and also the introduction of the Borrow concept. Now, the other funding source came from the application for grant monies out of the United Presbyterian Church. The Committee on the Self-Development of People had monies and application forms that we could fill out and justify why we need those grant monies. Apparently, our grant was successful in winning by one vote from the Self-Development of People Committee.
Final agreement that will handle all these matters related to the Inuvialuit ownership of those 35,000 square miles.
Just do you happen to have the conversion of square miles to acreage?
I'm afraid I don't, Justice Berger. I have it misconverted to kilometers, but...
All right, well,
sorry about that. I thought square miles would make more sense in Alaska than... But I certainly... than square kilometers.
Yeah. The borough is 88,000 square miles. That's the borough's jurisdiction. Yeah. And this, the 35,000 square miles is fee simple ownership.
Fee simple ownership, yes. I believe, I may be wrong about this, but I think it makes the Inuvialuit the largest private property owners in Canada, this settlement. Furthermore, before any development activity in the whole settlement region, now that's beyond the borders of the actual 35,000 square miles, can take place, the proponents must go through an environmental screening and review process. This environmental screening and review process will set the terms and conditions for under which that activity may take place. I'm not sure whether that's in the whole settlement area. I might better withdraw that. It may be just on Inuvialuit lands.
Ituminaraming uvani kanok aksiyo nga aksiyo tilanga Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act December 18, 1971 inyuniak nip tingin nun inupiaguron inu slope mi sebulio lugun kahuli matun kamunal kah matun in shareholder at tunirukrangit kay na shares ngit 1991 min na kanunangit luni tuniningit tafruma kaman nagotip nunap tigon aksyak niya tigot inyo niya nip tigon naka akin nag niya nip tigon nunakilap tigni nuslop mito ni nunaman na ato aking arakpot inupianik tayo si kak tituminakluta pautakif lugon nuna inupiagurugot pang mapag tam na nuna uwap tingin nun tungaruk rarok anay rukrangit kukput alan nun kaman nagotip kaman na ote kalla siluit asi tena tu nuna tamna angunia vigi kraik put ikaluk sia vigi luit nan reaktor vigi luit suli tena tu anu inune ani luguluta nikikrap tingnik family lap tingnun sama si raki waktu aku pa kenik tura ko minat kit ka mikhlek tutka ataramik ka nikinik stormin naka kanuchipayanik nikinik stormin sa bangaruat anga nikigiyumin na kalugit mekhlek tuhut angunyak vikak tukrarut ikalliak vikak tukrarut nanakiyaktok vikak tukrarut suli akvik siyo minak tukrarut piptik atataptik to ancestors of our forefathers mumiswitkiya inilrat kanga isut isaguting naman isaguting arwa asi uba second one matko mekhlek tu daning arwa December 18, 1971 nalautin man shen na kuminaluting tap kunan ni corporation may pingay chun asi ten na tun minitaw ngam meon mekhlek tu ka uba ka shen na ganyak tu tuba ka ting malo uba ka lo share but autar lo then natun ta kaman na otik rangat atalun inyangit kalwak to aglan
overlaps from August 8th
that there were also called restricted deeds for Eskimos in the area only. Then the white people of the United States Congress created garments for Indians in 1934, and 1935 and in 1936 adopted those laws for Eskimos in Alaska. The one made for my immediate family and relatives here was called a government. The native village of Barrow, with custodial duties of the native townsite, Barrow Native Store and Co-op, Barrow Utilities Co-op for electric and gas, and to foster native customs as whaling. Therefore, Barrow Whaling Captains Association, Barrow Mothers Club, and the Barrow Health Board, Co-op, Barrow Utilities Co-op, native customs as whaling. Therefore, Barrow Whaling Captains Association, Barrow Mothers Club, and the Barrow Health Board. There were other acts of Congress on behalf of and jointly as Americans for the benefit of Eskimos. In 1959, the United States government created on paper the State of Alaska government. You may refer to the State of Alaska as the daughter of the United States government to represent Americans, and more or less taking over of land and people as they did to the American Indians. The white people of America made land claims and war against American Indians and took over their private and tribal property. Those same whites moved into Canada and then to my home. In 1971, the United States Congress created yet another paper of law. Call it the Alaska Native Claims Act. The Land Claims Act created for natives that corporations be formed under State of Alaska sovereignty, the United States being the father and the State of Alaska its daughter, was to help the corporations, now called Arctic Slope Regional Corporation for our region, and UIC, Upiavik Inupiat Corporation for the native village of Barrow, for Eskimos known to exist at that time and not for natives born after 1971. AFN, the Alaska Federation of Natives, was created to have a united front for land claims against the United States. Then later, was created under laws and authorities of State of Alaska and to have the same status as Arctic Slope Regional Corporation and UIC. The same year, 1971, the Inupiaq here created a regional government using the 1934, 1935, and 1936 United States law that was used to create the native village of Barrow. The regional government created on paper is now the only legal representative of my Inupiaq people in the United States and to represent the Inupiaq here legally in the international circle. The government is ICAS, Inupiaq Community of the Arctic Slope. At that time, the Inupiaqs were also trespassing.
Our people was going outside those boundaries for fishing, hunting, and berry picking and different kinds of greens that now on our land, that grow on our land.
Uba nunarami nalunaksa taptuma abatan nunakaraktukumanyaitsusi ilisimalulugokillingit qinyaqamisigit tikimatku nunarat sillataani abataani tamat tamatku ubagut inuuniaqurugut iqalugunehaluta angunehaluta naga aseanik pukukhluta tamatkuna nunam nunamen nauruanik pukukhluta tamarai inuuneaatibut agalaan oqallautigaatigut tamatkuna nganunakalaqqayaanas.
The other part was our older people believed that when you select a land that you would get the fishing rights in some areas on the river. On the Yukon, you cannot set a net anywhere. It always has to be in an eddy where the current goes around like that.
Tukkanangi salik go kilisimam migat. Nunamig nalunayak sigubit. Angunia kabikiranik. Kambura. Ikalugunialanayak to din. Tap to money, nalunayak sa kan. Agala nalunayak si Surubok untuk kanado kakurut pi kakalong kakasunayin na kakagalungan ni ame kakagalungan ni kubo pi susunay po hugom kakagalungan ni gok tapunan nalunayak si niyurang niyak to.
And then when the land claims passed and we got our land, there was a lot of them discouraged because
36 nations from across the world as to what it takes to live in our environment, and that our resources come from the sea, majority come from the sea. We are in coastal villages and you live off the land also. We just don't run to a supermarket to get our needs, and mainly in form of meat products.
The Commission has come a long ways since it was formed back in 77.
You've got different people in there now, different leaderships with different ideas, but all in all, the Alaska Eskimo Whaling Commission has come forth a long ways. It's an uphill battle. The Commission can't satisfy everybody's concerns or wants and needs, but the majority of the whaling captains in each local village have the majority vote, so the majority rules as to which way that local village is going with the AWC to manage the affairs. Memorandum of understanding with the federal agencies, especially which is NOAA, which is a branch of the Department of Interior with the enforcement section, where the Alaska Eskimo Whaling Commission will use its own rules and regulations to enforce penalties, fines, instead of using the federal rules and regs. So we have our own internal rules and regulations that we have to abide by, approved by all the whaling captains from all the whaling communities.
How is the quota for a given year reached? How is that, by agreement between the Alaska Eskimo Whaling Commission and NOAA and the international authorities, or how is that done?
First time when we first heard about it, there was a total moratorium on the bowhead hunt, based on past reports done by Floyd Dorham, Dr. Dorham, that used to be up here for some years back, based on his reports, and various reports that were funneled to
Garden, Makpirariga Lorvik. The Tainagok Tever Makpiraring Amarut Tap to Moon a Pitkurakun Asigok Tever Kangyaksilata Amata Kangyaksilata Amirung Tam na Pitkurak Tever Pivikrang at Kangyanik Simarok Asi Tseriliraneonak Turgok Kinguva mechlek tungit. Tamatkoa tain na pikrak kalongit, nunakrak kalongit, makpikar kain ngin matiging. Mechlek tuwuru oktavra. Tepko kiwa 1970 mi prangening man anirwalli isumadiginiyaid manin nunami. Tamatgogo inuqallausere yuminyaniyaid. Makua inuit nunailat. Tamaraguq pinyaktak ratolungidiguq at amekliqtut 1970 min din aningarwat pikratolong iligok tamar ang ayok aming nin pinyakay tabragok tam nali kang yaksinyamiok state kulugok federal government lu din na savakang amarut savakaktut inna sukalyamik aglan pisare pera takotigok tabra inyubet kiwa mekliktungit sukran rin yirak sakamadun pimagay su din na ilaw yung minyak sakluit yung nakakuminyak sakluit.
The cost of living index represents 1,200%, which under the terms of the bill...
But you have to be able to go to a court somewhere that says, yes, these are your rights and we will enforce them. And just about every country, including the United States, laws passed by Congress apply notwithstanding international law. That is, they are applied by the courts of the United States, even if international law says something different. I'm putting it very roughly, but I think that's about the size of it.
So it just have to pass by the Congress to accept this ANCSA.
Yes, Congress passed a law, ANCSA, and it said your Aboriginal title is extinguished, your Aboriginal rights to hunt and fish are extinguished. I know the lawsuit that was described this afternoon is over the question whether that extinguishment of Aboriginal rights stops at the 3 mile limit or not, but that's what Congress did. The interesting thing is that in most of the countries that have indigenous populations, that have native peoples, they look to the judgments of Chief Justice Marshall of the United States, who wrote a series of great judgments in the 1820s and 1830s based on international law, declaring the rights of the Indian people of the United States, and in Canada, in Australia, in virtually every country of the world where they are trying to develop the rights of native peoples, everybody goes back to what that great American judge, Chief Justice Marshall, said. But
imagine we'll have as many fields developed to the enormity of Prudhoe Bay. They're starting up now in small areas, but cumulatively the total culture, because we are a hunting culture, and that frame of mind has not left our people, even though we have been immersed into a cash economy. Well, the cash economy may be going through a boom at these years, and it has been a boom with the oil development taking place. But once that expires, we're going to be experiencing a bust. So economic opportunities, just as hard as the lives that our previous generations have experienced, will come crashing down on us in a similar way, because economic development here is hardly feasible unless it's exploitation of our resources. So we have to look at other ways in which we are going to be able to make enough income to meet the demands of our community, our shareholders, and our citizens. Well, moving away from the borough government and getting back into ANCSA. As I grew up, the only real government that I knew that existed was either our tribal council and, at that time, a very powerful group, the Mothers Club. They were our policemen here. They kept people straight, and they kept their children straight.
Excuse me, my name is Joe Upikson. For Inupiaqtung, it's Joe Ukpiksoun. Last night, I spoke on what the Arctic Slope Native Association did. There has been, as I listened to testimonies, what I would call Arctic Slope Native Association was the only one that said no to the president signing the bill. And I would imagine that Justice Berger would like to know why we said no. And tonight I will do that so that people that have been wondering why Arctic Slope said no, it being the only association that said no, will understand why we said no. On December 18, 1971, at the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention, called by the president, then Don Wright, called an AFN convention so that we would witness listening to President Richard Milhouse Nixon signing the bill. We sent a letter to the President of the United States, and this is what it said. It is important that I read it verbatim because that is the way the White House received it. It came in a stationery from Arctic Slope Native Association, December 18, 1971. Honorable Richard M. Nixon, President of the United States, White House, Washington, D.C. Dear Mr. President, we, the Inupiat Eskimos of the Arctic Slope region of Alaska, urge you in the strongest possible terms to veto the Alaska Native Land Claims Bill passed by Congress on December 14, 1971. We regret taking this action, but are compelled to do so because the last chapter is being written in the tragic history of this nation's treatment of its Native Americans and their land rights. We hold Aboriginal title to 56.5 million acres of Alaska's cold, barren Arctic slope. For centuries, our people have forged a unique lifestyle on this land, and only now, with the passage of this legislation, will our Aboriginal ownership be extinguished, our land lost forever. We understand the necessity for resolving the land rights issue. It is an obstacle standing in the way of the development of Alaska, and more particularly, a bar to transportation of Prudhoe Bay oil to market via the proposed Trans-Alaska Pipeline. Along with other natives of Alaska, we have looked to Congress instead of the courts for a fair, just, and equitable settlement of our land rights. But Congress has failed to act in a responsible manner in adjudicating our land rights. It has largely ignored the fundamental premise upon which the entire settlement is hinged: separate and distinct regional ethnic groups of Alaska Eskimos, Indians, and Aleuts have property rights in their land. And Congress is acting to extinguish those rights. These were the emphasis added. Unless the present legislation is to be nothing more than an outright expropriation, there must be a direct relation between what is being taken from us and what we receive in exchange. The Inupiat Eskimos of the Arctic Slope hold Aboriginal title to perhaps the most valuable land on the North American continent. For the right to explore a mere 412,000 acres of our land, the oil companies paid the state of Alaska over $900 million. We did not receive one penny of this amount. The state of Alaska contends it owns this land, but the state does not abide by the terms of its own statehood act, in which any right, title, or interest in lands claimed or held by Eskimos, Indians, or Aleuts is expressly disclaimed. We do not recognize the state's tentatively approved selected lands. Status of these lands as it violates this express disclaimer. The Alaska Native Land Claims Bill before you for signature violates the basic tenet of a land rights settlement in several respects. First, although some may think that $9,622,000 and 40 million acres constitutes a fair settlement, the method by which the land and money are allocated among the native groups is far more important. Congress has chosen wrongly to follow a population allocation throughout most of the entire settlement instead of an allocation based upon the size of each native region's Aboriginal land area. The latter method is the only one that even begins to approach the type of allocation a court would make, which would take into consideration not only the size of the area claimed, but its value. Our population is sparse. Only about 5% of the native total, but that is because our land will not support as large a population as other native regions. This does not diminish our Aboriginal rights, as they are not dependent upon how much or how many of us there are, but upon dominion over land through use and occupancy. Adoption of the population-based formula means that we will receive only 5% of the settlement's monetary proceeds, even though virtually all of the $500 million in 2% royalty revenues will come from our land. Is this fair? Does it comport with even the most basic concept of justice? Second, the land which we are allowed to retain will be far from our villages and of little economic potential. Although this is a settlement of our land rights, the state of Alaska comes first. The federal government, with its Naval Petroleum Reserve and Arctic Wildlife Refuge, comes first.